Welcome to the podcast, Chris Graham, Rod Mullins. We're talking on Thursday this week as we're getting ready for a weekend in NASCAR. We normally talk on Wednesdays, but you know, with no race last week, and we're getting closer to Martinsville coming up this weekend as NASCAR returns from its Easter break. Rod, thanks for joining us on the show.
Appreciate it, Chris.
All right, so a week off. It's a chance for the teams, the drivers, to kind of collect themselves a bit. You know, kind of look at what they did, they've been doing right, what they've been doing wrong, et cetera. So, you know, this week, let's actually first start talking, you know, it's also a week, where the teams can have a chance to go do testing and that kind of thing. A lot of that news this week. Let's talk about the next generation testing at Darlington first off.
Well, next generation testing on the cars and so forth. Tyler Reddick was there this past week at Darlington. I had some good test sessions from what I hear. Everything went according to plan, except for near the last lap, I think, for Tyler Reddick when he hit the wall and got the Darlington stripe on him. The lady in black reached out and got him. But the next generation car, the news after that came out that they are going to unveil the three brands right now, the Toyota, the Chevrolet, and the Ford next generation cars on May 5th. And so that's kind of telling us right now that NASCAR is up for the task. But there's a lot of questions going into next year before they've even hit the track. You know, we're kind of still talking about the remnants of Bristol, what's going on. We heard a little bit about Marcus Smith this past week with Speedway Motorsports. He was telling Dale Jr. on the podcast, talking to him and telling him, I want to see a roof on Bristol Motor Speedway. And we're all kind of in shock over this whole thing because it was kind of mentioned earlier when Bruton Smith had first bought Bristol. One of the things that came into question was always the weather, especially in the spring of the year. And Bruton Smith said, if we could find a way to put a roof over top of Bristol Motor Speedway, we'd do it. But you got to take into consideration fumes, the air, the sound, all of this stuff. Well, it seems like that some way down the line that Marcus Smith has found a solution or at least has a solution in mind of putting a roof over top of Bristol Motor Speedway. So we're going to have to wait on that to find out what's going on. But that next generation car is going to be set for the racetrack making its debut in 2022. And a lot of questions going on about whether that next generation car is actually going to be able to stand up to Bristol and the dirt track for next spring. A lot of questions about that. Some people are saying, why doesn't NASCAR just go ahead with a dirt car and just run a dirt car for that specific race? And I think that kind of takes away from it a little bit. So we're just going to find out. There's a lot of still questions out there about that next generation car for next year.
Have you seen a price tag associated with that, the idea of putting a roof over Bristol?
No, I haven't. And you know, to me, it's almost to the point I don't know if I could even put a price tag on top of it. Yeah. You know, I start thinking, well, you know, could you do a retractable roof? Is it practical to do something like that? And I don't know if you're familiar with the mini dome down in Johnson City. We were talking about East Tennessee State University a little bit before we started recording, but you know, if they did a design, something of beams that came across the top of the racetrack and they were able to put some kind of, you know, roof that way, retractable, sort of like, I still refer to it as Reliant Stadium down in Houston, where the field, the it will go open and you can have a game there in sunlight, or you can close it back up when it's raining. I wonder if they could do that. And I don't know, some way, somehow the Smiths always come up with a way to be able to have something at Bristol. I mean, whoever thought that they would enclose Bristol Motor Speedway into this, fishbowl almost and put it to where, as Sterling Marlin called it one time, it's like flying, jets in a high school gym and you're going, you know, over 100 miles an hour, almost 200 miles an hour there. And the sound is going to be unreal, but you know, they've got something in mind, but I can't even begin to put a price tag on what it would be. But it would have to be part of a big investment. And I think it would probably be one of those things of where you're going to start maybe looking at a venue, not just for racing. I think at that point you might be looking at another, who knows, the Smiths may be looking at such a thing of having a bowl game there. They might have a bowl game before it's over with. So there's a lot of things that still up in the air as to where that would go.
Yeah, I just did some math after thinking out loud, you know, hey, how much would this cost? Mm-hmm. You know, the most recent new addition to football stadiums in the United States, the new one out in Los Angeles, right. $5 billion.
Yeah, I was going to say it has to be in the billion somewhere. So.
And when you start thinking about the cost that would be involved, like you said, it's not, you're not just building a football stadium in this kind of case. A football stadium is just guys out on a field running around a football field. You're talking, as you mentioned, all the environmental factors in terms of the cleaning the air, because you can't keep 100, you have, can't have 100,000 people under a roof with gas and oil fumes and everything else. So, you know, the filtration systems would be even more expensive. It could be more than $5 billion. But that said, you know, part of that $5 billion out in LA includes some development around it and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. That's how you make more money back. And so you can't put that kind of money into something like this and then use it two weekends a year. It would be something that would have to have a many more weekends a year, many more days a year kind of value. But I imagine that the numbers are being crunched and somebody's going to figure that out.
Well, I'll tell you this, and this is the way I feel about it right now. I think the big question is going to be, let's not worry about the roof as much right now as we need to worry about Beaver Creek and the flooding around Bristol Motor Speedway, because every time we have bad weather, it seems like Beaver Creek comes out of its banks, it goes, it floods the campgrounds, different things like that. I think that that's probably one thing they'd have to look at environmentally of how to solve this problem before, you know, they start worrying about a roof before it's over with.
That's an interesting conversation here. So you talked about the next generation car. Let's look now at back to Martinsville, which is where we're going this weekend. And we'll preview that race here on this podcast as well. This week also tire test in Martinsville, and I guess some promising news from those tests. Talk about that.
Well, a wet weather tire, and this is a tire that they mostly use on the road course, and they've used them at Watkins Glen, or they'll use them at Sonoma. They'll probably be using the wet weather tire at COTA at the Circuit of the Americas down in Austin, Texas, when they race there a little bit later on this season. But this wet weather tire, they're wanting to see what they can do. And NASCAR's doing this because they know rain is killing them right now. Rain is killing them on delays, pushing it back a day and so forth. Why not run a race with some wet weather tires on it? You may have to lower the speeds a little bit more, but how about running a race on, you know, one of these tracks like a Martinsville, for example, and see how it's going to do. So that's what they were trying out with this wet weather tire, to see if it was going to, you know, what the traction's going to be, what the hold is going to be on this tire. And they came out of it, they've not really got told a lot of details, but they were pleased in part with you know, the way the tire tests have gone. It kind of gives Goodyear an idea of what they need to prepare for when they get to Martinsville, because you're talking a track that is part pavement and it's part concrete. When you get into the turns, they're concrete. You get down the straightaways, the front stretch and the back stretch, they're both pavement. And then you go back into another set of turns there in 3 and 4 that are concrete again. It's not like a Bristol that's all the way concrete around. So it's got to be a tire it's going to be able to stand up to the wear and tear of going from pavement concrete for 500 laps, if that's what they're going to do.
Yeah, it's not like baseball. Well, baseball can you miss today's game, you play a doubleheader tomorrow, you make it up as the season goes on. There's 162 of those games in Major League Baseball. In NASCAR, you know, there's one Cup Series race a week, and if you know, if you have it on Monday, great. Competition wise, that's great. You've had your race. But from a viewer standpoint, TV viewer standpoint, one, which is where a lot of the money's made these days, certainly on TV, you're not likely. The diehards will watch, but most, even those folks have jobs to work on Mondays that maybe not allow that. And certainly from a fan attendance standpoint, it's an issue too. So yeah, the more you can do to make sure the races go off, if it's scheduled for Sunday at 2 o'clock, make sure it goes off Sunday at 2 o'clock. Yep. It's good for, if it could be safe for competition, it's better for business that way.
Mm-hmm. Well, the killer too, another thing is, has really caused NASCAR a lot of problems over the last few years, has been the logistics of being able to travel someplace. So you've got a race at Bristol, you get postponed from a Sunday to a Monday, you may get rained out on that Monday, and you may have to race on Tuesday morning at starting at 9 o'clock in the morning. If you have to do that, then you are pressed at the end of the race to get everything put up back in the hauler, get the car back. If you've got it in one piece, get it back in the hauler. You can't go out at Bristol, especially during the race, because there is no tunnel turn or anything like that, that you can take the trucks through. You have to wait until everything is done, and then they start parading the convoys out. But this is the thing. Some of these teams have to go back to Charlotte, Denver, North Carolina. They have to go back to these places. Some of these teams have to go for their shops where they have to go to. Then they have to be able to make the turnaround, get the team ready, pick up their stuff, get packed, and then head out to a Texas, for example. Now, Bristol, Martinsville, the week off, that's kind of helped a little bit. That's not hurt anybody. But if we get in another little rain situation like what we've had before, you know, you're talking about a race going from here on the East Coast and having to travel to the West Coast, that's going to cause some logistic problems for the NASCAR teams.
More problems for the NASCAR teams, for the guys who've won races so far this year. Normally we like to say, hey, you won a race, you're already in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. We have seven different winners in seven races so far. What is this doing to the playoff picture?
Parity, best way to say it. It's parity all the way around. Unfortunately, I heard the news this morning that one team, MBM Motorsports, Timmy Hill, who was driving for the NASCAR Cup team, they are withdrawing now, or they're done. They're not going to be racing the rest of the season. So that's one small team that's going to be out of the mix, and they're not going to be participating so for the 2021 season. But for the rest of these teams, we're seeing some parity, something that we didn't see last year, because you saw dominance from Stewart Haas. You also saw some dominance in there from Penske. You saw some flashes of some dominance in there from some of the Chevrolet cars and Hendrick. But now you've got this all the way around. You've got Michael McDowell, who wins the Daytona 500. You've got Kyle Larson, who comes back, wins a race for Hendrick. So you go from the small team to the one that's has been sufficiently funded over the years. But you still have Stewart Haas that hasn't picked up a win so far on the season. And then you've got Joe Gibbs Racing that has picked up a win with a rookie, with Christopher Bell. You know, it's kind of spreading it out. Spreading the wealth out a little bit more, and it's making those valuable 16 playoff spots, by the time we get into August, it's going to make them that much more valuable. It's going to be for the points. It's not going to be like you win, you're in, and you're a lock. This is going to change, and this is all constantly changing right now is the way the season's going. And so some of these guys may think that they've got a little bit of a time to rest on their laurels. Michael McDonald kind of thought that at first, but now watching the rest of these drivers come in, and you know, they've won these races and so forth, and now we're at seven different winners. Michael McDowell is sweating a little bit. He's got a hope that he has a good season on through to August, where he can at least keep on and hold on to that playoff position that he earned when he won the Daytona 500. But there are detractors out there that will say, he was in the right place at the right time. He lucked up with that win. Somebody else would get it. No, I think it's established some parity with a lot of these race teams, and we'll see a difference when we move away from the short tracks and we start going to the Talladegas, and we start going out west, and we go to Texas, and we also come back to Charlotte by May. And so, you're going to see a lot of differences and changes in the standings.
All right, Rod, I'm going to be the bearer of bad weather news as we're getting ready to preview Martinsville this weekend.
Okay.
The race is scheduled for Saturday night, 7:30. Mm-hmm. The weather forecast right now does not look good. And, of course, we're just a couple of days out, so the closer you get, the better the forecast gets. Looks like rain Saturday night in Martinsville, maybe all the way through early Saturday or Sunday afternoon, that is. So, that said, we're scheduled to go under the lights Martinsville Saturday night. Well, give us a preview of this weekend's race.
Well, Martinsville, right now, I think of anybody that's probably looking to be the in the catbird seat, it's probably Martin Truex Jr. He has raced really well at the short tracks. He raced really well at Bristol. He has raced very, very good at Martinsville in the past few years. Just hasn't picked up a win there, or picked up the wins that he's probably been entitled to there, because he's ran really well. But I think a lot of people are pointing the finger saying this week that Martin Truex Jr. could be the recipient, but he's got a Joe Gibbs Racing teammate that's nipping at his heels that wants a win there, and that's Denny Hamlin. Denny Hamlin likes Martinsville awful well. He likes that flat track, and you have just a minimum of degreed banking. I think you're going to see a good race between those two. If they're up toward the front, I think you could see some great racing. And also throw into the mix Chase Elliott. He likes that racetrack. Chase Elliott's looking for a way to kind of rebound right now. Joey Logano, he's raced there in the past. We might see our first two-time winner, I think, coming around this weekend. We might see that, but it's anybody's guess at this point. Chase Elliott hasn't won a race up to this point. He could become our eighth different winner before the evening is over with, or Sunday afternoon, or however they're going to race this thing. But it's going to be an interesting race, especially at Martinsville, because when you get on that track, the real estate is valued. You're fighting for every bit of real estate you can, and you don't give up very much real estate. And if you do, you're going to be put to the back real quick.
Yeah. Last year we had such dominance from a few racers as a season, you know, so many, a few multiple win guys. I think it makes it more interesting when you don't know from week to week what's going to happen. And you're almost waiting for the surprise because you're probably going to be surprised. That makes you stay tuned in longer, I think.
Well, and here's another thing too. And I've kind of thought about this when you're kind of an old school NASCAR person like myself, I kind of enjoy the old days, so to speak, of how competitive some of the teams were and what they did. And I've heard a lot this past week of the old phrase, if you're not cheating, you're not racing, or you're not winning, and so forth. I don't know how you can say that in the modern day NASCAR era, but I think that the folks and the powers that be, Steve Phelps and all of them at NASCAR, are trying to make this a more, mainstream sort of racing deal now from what it was. They're really making the attempt at not just throwing the product out there and saying, here you go, embrace it or don't embrace it. I think they're really trying to pull some people back across. And I don't know if you remember the old phrase, it used to be win on Sunday, buy on Monday. If people wanted to go and buy a car, I think that's what NASCAR is trying to get back to, a little bit more of that affiliation, so to speak, with this next generation car. And then with some of the driving, I think they're trying to get back to that a little bit more, but make things a little bit more competitive, not make things a boring 500 lap race where you have one winner who laps the field. They want to give some excitement to it. And I think that's what Phelps and company are doing. It's just going to take a little bit of time for the mainstream to kind of catch up with things. I mean, but you've already got Pitbull involved. He's sponsoring a race team. And I have to say, Daniel Suarez had one of his best performances of the 2021 season at Bristol. And he ran like he was, just shot out of a rocket. If he'd had just a little bit more time, I think he could have probably made a top five finish, but his car was really rough. You know, that's one of those drivers we're starting to see some changes out of, and a little bit of some influence. Bubba Wallace is still right now, he's in the top 20 in points. He could make a move here with just a couple of races. He could be in the top 10 if he pulls away a win, and he's got the backing with Michael Jordan doing all this racing stuff right now. And I like what Michael Jordan said here a couple of weeks ago, I don't sign checks for losers. So, it's been uttered to Bubba Wallace. He's got to do something here, and he's got to do something very quick, or the way Michael Jordan is, he'll be looking for somebody else.
Yeah. Mother Nature just warned me. Actually, my watch just got a notification. It's going to start raining where I am as we're finishing up recording this podcast, just reminding us that until you build that $5 billion dome over every NASCAR race, you got to watch out for the rain. It's going to hold us down, unless those rain tires work. So, well, Ron, thank you for helping us break things down once again. Thanks for your time.
Appreciate it, Chris. Thanks.